Invite you to turn back to Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. We've entitled our message tonight, Loosed and Brought to Christ. And we would draw your attention to the words of verse 2, although we will comment on other verses as well. But with God's Word open before us, just let's still our hearts and seek the Lord for needed help as we come to the preaching of His Word. Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence. We thank the Lord, if we draw nigh unto Thee, Thou wilt in turn draw near unto us. We praise Thee, Lord, for bringing us to this passage. We thank the Lord for the confirming of it, even in the prayer meeting beforehand. And O God, we pray that Thou would shut us in with Thyself. Lord, to that end, fill me with Thy Spirit and with power. We have no desire tonight to preach with enticing words of man's flowery language. But, O God, just help us to preach in the power and demonstration of Thy Spirit. Lord, help us to preach directly, clearly. O God, we're preaching for souls tonight. We ask, Lord, that Thou would still every heart. Thou would move by Thy Spirit in convicting power. Lord, this evening there might be a soul that will be loosed, brought to Christ. Lord, may we see signs following the preaching of Thy Word. May we know the Lord working with us this evening. Lord, honor Thy Word. Bless us now as we would turn our thought to it. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Throughout the public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are not so many records of Him being in the midst of the cities. Much of His public ministry was to be found around the quieter regions and the remote parts of Galilee. How often do we read of the Lord being in the desert place or even in the mount in prayer to His Heavenly Father? However, there are exceptions to that, and this passage leads us to consider one of them. Within days, the Lord Jesus Christ, the servant of men, would lay down His life on the cross of Calvary. Within a matter of days, the cries would be heard, "Crucify Him! Away with Him!" Within days, the hands of cruel and wicked men, devil-inspired men, would take Him, and they would nail Him upon that old Roman gibbet to die the death of the cursed. That hour was approaching for which He had come to this world, even of giving Himself as a sinner's substitute, so that sinful men might have a way back to God. And so to the city of Jerusalem He would go. He would do so not under the veil of the darkness of the night, but openly and courageously in the view of the crowds of people. Already today, we have considered the much cattle of the city of Nineveh and how they were included in the decree of the king to show repentance unto God. God knoweth all about His creation. He understandeth their every need. There's not a sparrow that falls to the ground without our Heavenly Father knowing it. And throughout the Scriptures, there are many occasions where we note that the animals and their instinct are subject to Almighty God. Like the two milchkin who were to bring the Ark of the Covenant back from the land of the Philistines and back to Beth-Shemesh. And in these verses we're drawn to consider the manner in which the Lord would go and enter into that city of Jerusalem.
He would do so triumphantly in the manner of the Old Testament kings. For the Lord would come into the city not on a horse, because a horse was known and used for war, but he would do so upon a colt, symbolic of peace. For the Savior was going to Calvary, for by his atoning death he would obtain peace through the blood of his cross for guilty, hell-deserving sinners like you and I. My dear friend, tonight, if you're not saved, then you're still guilty. And you are still one who is at enmity with God. And it is my prayer tonight that you will experience what this colt was to experience this very day, because it was loosed, brought to Christ. I want you to consider, first of all, with me this evening, the picture of the colt here. When we consider a colt, we're thinking of a young male lass. And in the few verses that are before us, we get the scene of another village from where the Savior and his disciples were presently standing. For upon arriving there, I want you to consider what these two disciples were to see. Look at the words of verse 4. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. And they loosened. There was a colt that had no liberty or freedom. For we read in these words that it was tied. And that was what they were to expect to find. For the Lord spoke about that in verse 2. It hadn't got its own freedom, but rather it was bound by a cord so that it couldn't go anywhere. And dear men and women, young people, if there is one thing that the Scriptures speak about the sinner, then it is the fact that they are bound and are held by many a snare. The soul without God's salvation is one who has no liberty. They have no freedom, but instead there's bondage. Now while the world may think, of course, they have freedom, and they think that they have liberty to live whatever way they like, and indeed the very thought of getting saved, being converted to Christ, it brings before them the thought of limitations and of rules. I want to tell you that it is the ungodly who are like this colt, for they are in bondage. They're in bondage to their old master, the devil. And that bondage means that they cannot do that which is pleasing to God. Their whole being, their heart is given over to sin and to the ways of evil, so that the old nature which each one of us have by birth is inclined to sin all the time. That certainly is what is borne out in the book of Romans, especially chapter 3. For there we read, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. With their tongues they have used deceit, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, and so it could go on. Aye, doesn't the Scripture sum up the old sinner precisely tonight? You think of Ephesians 2 in the words of verse 2, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. My sinner, don't tell me that you have freedom. Don't kid yourself tonight that you have liberty. Those verses remind me that the sinner has no such freedom or liberty. They are bound. You're running after the things of the course of this world. You're bound by the old devil himself. It might be the booze. It might be the fives. It might be the gambling. It might be something else. But you're bound. There's only one who can give you liberty. There's only one who can give you freedom. And that is what we read in John 8 and 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. The colt had no liberty. Neither of you unsaved soul in this meeting. But I'll tell you something else about the cult. It had no usefulness either. Understand, it was but a cult never man had sat on it before. Never had been put to any use in terms of those who worked with horses. Here was a cult of an ass that had never had a bit or brittle put into its mouth. It never had been broken. It was still an animal which had never been taught to submit to man. And so it might be suggested it had never been put to any good service for man. What was true of the colt is also true of man born into this world. Ever since Adam sinned against the Lord, taking of that forbidden fruit, he has ever since rebelled. And that is a truth that is described in Job chapter 11 and the words of verse 12. Listen to this. For being man would be wise, though a man be born like a wild ass's colt. Man is a rebel by birth. He will not submit to the will of God, neither indeed can he because of his fallen nature. And that means that he cannot be of any useful service to God. How many today try to serve God in the flesh and through the old nature? And you hear the phraseology today of turning over a new leaf and making new resolutions. Those resolutions are probably broken, and we're not even out of January yet. Trying to serve God in the flesh remains unfruitful and it remains a failure. The way in which this cult was found was in a state of being of no use. And that is the way in which God finds a sinner tonight. You're dead in trespasses and in sin. You're just like the man of Gadara. For we read of that man, it was said of him, no man could bind him, neither could any man tame him. There was in that man no one who could straighten him out. Only one could tame him. Only one could cast the devil out of him. And that was the Christ of God at whose feet he came to rest, clothed and in his right mind. And dear soul, you're no different. That old will, that old heart of yours needs to be broken. It needs to be brought to submission before a holy God. For I tell you, unless that happens, you will live a life of uselessness to God and to man. No purpose. And you know there's something else about this cult that had no entrance. I want you to note the words of verse 4 there again. And they went their way to find the cult tied by the door without. For whatever reason, this cult was prevented from entering into the owner's property. It was shut outside. It was outside the door of the house. And you know, when I picture that in my mind's eye, I'm also brought to consider those five unwise virgins. For when it was said that the bridegroom cometh, that they went in search of oil for the lamps. And when the bridegroom did come, we read that they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And the five unwise virgins came later, and I can see them knocking on that door. And they said, Lord, Lord, open to us. Oh, they had the right language. Lord, open to us. But you see, men and women, young people, the door was shut. There was no entrance. They who have no experience of the new birth, they who are not born again of the Spirit of God, will be shut outside the door for all eternity. For understand, dear friend, tonight that man is shut out of heaven because of his sin. Nothing that defileth shall ever enter in. Even though he is created by God, yet sin has robbed us and made us enemies to God, so that we're barred entrance into the eternal abode of our Creator and of our Maker. What a picture this is of the cult. For I tell you, it's a picture of the sinner tonight. Yet in their sin, without God's salvation. Is this a picture of you? That's what I want to get to. Is this a picture of you, sinner? For you see, in our meeting tonight in the congregation, there are sinners. You're either a sinner saved by grace, or else you're a sinner still in your sin. Is this a picture of you? No liberty, but in bondage to sin still, no usefulness or service to God, and one who has no entrance into heaven or the assurance of it because of your sin. What a poor, wretched creature sinner really is, you know. Picture of the coat. Let me bring you a little further. Let me show you the power of Christ. For even though that the sinner's state and condition is just as it was with this coat, yet I believe in these words we see the hope there is to be found. The Lord was to command these disciples to go into the village in order that the coat might be liberated and it might be set free and brought to him. Verse 2, and said unto him, go your way into the village over against you. And as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a coat tied whereon never man sat. Loose him. Bring him. You know, that reminds us that God uses men in the great work of liberating souls from the bondage of their sin. He doesn't use angelic beings. He just uses men. And he left the Great Commission with those 12 men, or 11 men. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Lo, I am with you always. It hath pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to see of them that believe. Sitting under the sound of the gospel preaching tonight, you dear soul can know the power of Christ in your life. God can set you free, that you'll never be the same again. For I want you to see the Savior's power in the knowledge that He displayed here in our text. He knew where exactly the colt would be. Look at verse 2. Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied. They wouldn't have to even go through the village. It was at the very edge of the village. And we have the added detail given when the disciples went, for we read in verse 4 that it was tied at a place where two ways met. What significance there seems to be in that. For one way led to Christ, while the other way led away from Him. Place where two ways met. And I tell you tonight, not only does God know every heart that is before Him this evening, a little glance at Psalm 139 would be sufficient to remind us of that. Verse 2, Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Oh, listen, dear soul, God knows everything about you. The Lord could say to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. God is the all-knowing God, and nothing but nothing is hidden from His eyes tonight. He knoweth them that are His. He knoweth them that are still in their sin. He knows where you are tonight, where you are to be found, for God has planned it that you should be under the preaching of the gospel this very night. Don't think that you're here by accident. Don't think that you're here just because someone asked you, and we thank God for the soul that did ask you to come. You're here tonight because God meant you to be here. He has planned your steps. And could it be that I'm preaching to one, and God has brought you to the place where one road leads you to Christ and to heaven and God's salvation, and the other way can lead you to hell? And you're at that place where it's all or nothing. that place where the next step will be so crucial. For God has been striving with you by His Holy Spirit, and you have been under conviction of sin. And listen, you know what you need to do, sinner, and God has brought you to this place where the two ways met. It's either stepping out for Christ, or it's on your way to a lost eternity. There's only one way to God, and it's through the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as there was only one door into the ark in which Noah and those who went with him were to safely go. Just as there was only one ark from God's judgment. Just as there was only one way through the Red Sea for the children of Israel to go and to know salvation. Just as there was only one ladder. As God revealed Himself to Jacob at the place called Bethel. Just as there was only one way that led to Christ this day for the colt. So there is only one way that leads to God. So there is only one way that leads to heaven this evening. And it is through saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ who would within days go to Calvary to pay the price of our redemption. And I remind you, dear sinner, that there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I want you to see the power of Christ as seen by the authority in which He spake. Nothing ever done for God will be without opposition. When these disciples were to find this colt and they were start to lose him, there was every possibility that they would be confronted. There would be those who would question their actions and they would be prepared to stop them taking the colt. But even should that be the case, the authority of the word of Christ would be all that they needed. Look at the words of verse 3. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye to that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And the authority of Christ assured them that at the first mention of the name of the Lord, then those concerned will be made willing. You'll see that as the Lord had spoken, so it was when that time came about. There were those who had objected. But when the disciples spoke those words, the Lord hath need of him, the response is seen in verse 6, and they let them go. And they let them go. When the one who created the very animals of the field claims one of his creatures, then who can stop him? And I tell you tonight that the authority of Christ is still as powerful as ever, for it is His Word that giveth life. And if Christ should speak the Word only, then your soul shall be loosed from the bondage of its sin, and your soul shall be set gloriously free. For I remind you tonight that the authority of Christ is greater than that of the devil. Devil cannot retain a soul in his kingdom or in darkness one moment or second after Christ claims that soul for himself. His power has been crushed, for the Savior was to bruise his head at Calvary. For there, having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The power that caused the lame to walk, the power that caused the lepers to be cleansed and the colt to be loosed, is the power of Christ that you can experience this very night. His power is still the same. He can set the prisoner free. I wonder, will you experience that power this evening in the gospel? I want to show you one final thought here. There's the plan of the Christian. Those disciples at the behest of the Savior were not to return in vain. Neither were they to return empty-handed. And what encouragement that is for us as God's people, to go out onto the highways and reach lost souls for Christ. or having lost a colt, they were to bring it to Jesus, verse 7. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon them. These men did their duty well. They knew where Christ was, and they were able to lead this colt to him. And my dear fellow believer, that is also our duty. That is also what God requires of us at His bidding. We must go out and we must seek to lead the lost, helpless and hopeless souls to the Savior. We know where He is to be found tonight. By saving faith, the sinner must get to the foot of the old rugged cross and there accept what the Savior accomplished for them on that old tree. Thank God the Savior is not on the cross. Neither is he stinking in the tomb tonight. For this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down at the right hand of God. And that's where Christ is to be found. And because he hath an unchangeable priesthood, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. What a change this was for the colt. It was brought to Jesus. The animal which never had a man upon it before was to be haltered. But we read in verse 7 that the Savior sat upon him. A colt is a nervous creature by nature. It's easily disturbed, spooked. Yet consider this colt was to walk amongst the great cheering crowds of Jerusalem. Was completely under the control of the Master, and it was in submission to his will. And so it is when a sinner comes by faith to the Savior, there is a realization of our need of Christ to save us from our sin, and then we are made willing to submit and become a willing subject to the Master. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things passed away. Behold, all things become new. And you see that the colt was honored. In verse 7 we read that they cast their garments on him. The colt had a covering that it never had before. And you know, so does the believer in Christ. For at the point of conversion, God takes off the old filthy rags of our own righteousness and the old filthy rags of our sin and those things that we would lift before God as having some merit, and he takes those things off, and there's a great exchange made. He clothes us with the spotless garment of Christ's righteousness, and we are accepted in the Beloved. This colt was to be honored by rendering service to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was this animal that caused the Savior to be brought into the city of Jerusalem in triumph. The little colt had a unique task to do for Christ that day. And so that he might share, we might say, he shared in his glory. And so, my friend, the purpose of every believer is to do that unique service that God has given to each one of us to do. From uselessness as a sinner in sin and bound by the devil, to one who is of service to the Master. He has promised one day will share his eternal glory in his kingdom. Dear soul, tonight would you not like to be him? That useful man, that useful woman for Christ, with a purpose now in your life. You'll see that the colt was to uplift the Savior before the crowd so that they received the hosannas. Verse 9. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. You know that word, Hosanna, what it means? I'm sure you've read that before. It means literally, be propitious. Save now. The very sentiment that is found in Psalm 118 and verse 25, part of which they are quoting as they sing unto the Lord going into Jerusalem. The verse says this. save now. I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. And dear sinner, I want to tell you tonight there's good news. The Lord is able to save you now. He's able to be propitious to you, to be merciful to you. He's able to turn you. To turn you from your sin. And just for within a short time after this, He went to the cross. He willingly gave His life's blood that He might pay the punishment of our sin on our behalf, to turn away the wrath of God that was our due. Because He finished that work, because He cried, "It is finished," Christ can be one who's propitious to you now. He can save you now. He can pardon you now from all your sin. I wonder, will you come tonight? I wonder, will you come this evening to the Savior and know sins forgiven, and then go forth uplifting the Savior before the crowds of people who as yet do not know Him as Savior? This little colt had a work to do this day. That's why it was called from afar by the Savior. It was part of God's plan. How do you know that, preacher? I know it, and so will you if you turn back to Zechariah 9. And the words of verse 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass." 450 years before the incarnation of the Savior, the prophet Zechariah wrote about that little colt. It was part of God's plan. Are you part of God's plan of salvation tonight? You can know you are. A plan that stretches back to eternity past. You can know you're part of God's plan this evening for salvation if you will but come now and receive Him as your Lord, your Savior, your King. Will you do so? Then you too will know what it is to be loosed and brought to Christ. May God help you. May God speak on when the preacher's voice is silent for His own name's sake. Amen. We'll sing in closing number 221. "Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word." 221, let's stand as we sing, please.
Christ. Only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you now. We're here afterwards, God's servant, for your sake. You stand at the crossroads tonight where two ways met. Only one way leads to Christ. Don't spurn God's opportunity to your soul. Come by faith. If we can be of any help, we're here for you. Gladly open the scriptures to you. Point you to the Savior. Father, we thank thee for the message of the gospel. Even through the little colt that was to carry the Savior in triumph into the city of Jerusalem. O God, we thank the Lord this evening that thou art able to save now. Thou art able, Lord, to liberate that sinner, to set them gloriously free. And I pray, Lord, that thou would speak on when the preacher's voice is silent. That a soul tonight, Lord, might be loosed, brought to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Speak on. Give no rest tonight. Even, Lord, if it takes sleep from their eyes until they make peace with God. Hear and answer prayer. Part us with thy blessing and thy fear. For we ask these things in our Savior's precious name. Amen.